prepare ourselves and get into the study of Scripture. Very important study for those who will see it. And it's a difficult thing to see because there are a lot more things that are more exciting, more fun. And I'll talk about that in a moment. But let's prepare ourselves. A few moments in prayer. And use tonight as a time to worship God and be in prayer and studying Scripture. Did we have any prayer requests since last night? I forgot to mention we continue to be in prayer for Dave Smith. I talked to Dave, and you know, Dave's the kind that a lot of us are, and hey, yeah, give me a prayer. But it's serious, and we want doctors to be able to find out some things and what's going on in his body. And so please be in prayer, and that the doctors can find out. It's one of those very, very difficult things. I've used the example before. Just to me, it's so befitting. We take a car in, and a mechanic like Jerry is trained and all that, and looks at it, and sometimes you just have to go through things. It isn't that they're trying to zip you, just you try different things, and we made the car. I mean, man made the thing. Can't figure out sometimes. So much more difficult when you deal with the body. The unbelievable mechanism that God, the Creator, has put together in regard to the human body, and so many things that influence it. So sometimes it's very, very difficult to zero in on certain problems that are going on in the body. Same thing with Pat, experiencing the same thing with her, and what can be done about it. So let's be in prayer for each other, and be in prayer tonight about our study. Let's pray. Father, pray now as we look into Scripture at these things, that the Spirit will illuminate for us the importance of seeing these things, Father, and cause us to be aware of this aspect of living the Christ-like life. Father, I pray that you be with me in communicating these truths, we might see them. The Spirit will be the one speaking and teaching tonight. Pray these things, Father, in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. We have so many problems going on in the church. We have great problems in the area of immorality. We have great problems in the area of division, theology. We have a lot of things that are affecting a great number of divorces, even among the ministers of the church, homosexuality. And what most of the church comes up with an answer is control. Do and do, or don't. And that's the answer. We saw this with the last week in the at the Southern Baptist Convention. It's more than losing, it's as much as losing sight of their mission, what they're really here for, as it is seeing a problem, and their solution is to control, and to control in the financial area. None of that is found in Scripture, but they are reacting because they see problems, and the church is reacting because it sees problems. A lot of pastors are reacting, missionaries, Christians reacting, and people, if we would understand what God has given to us in regard to these problems. And you're just not going to hear someone say that what we need to do is teach our young people, our children, to walk by faith, to simply trust God. That's too simple. No man has to do for God. It's not just a matter of trusting God. But if we think about what we're saying is the solution is found in just trusting God. Here, the member of the Godhead is God the Holy Spirit. And He will do it. But we're not going to hear that. That's going to be silenced, and we're just not going to hear that. Nor are we going to hear in believers who are dealing with believers who sin. And our solution is to shoot each other, to scrap each other, to judge each other, to malign each other, to all these things that symbolizes the Puritan movement. And instead of actually going to Scripture and supporting things on what does the Bible teach, what does God tell us in regard to, you're not going to hear, we're going to hear a great big deal about understanding men and understanding women, but there's no popular book out there, there's no book that everybody wants to go buy, advertised on television, and boy, you just can't keep it in print, that what we need to do is go to the Bible and see what the Bible teaches on how we ought to be toward one another. If we would understand what does the Bible say and put these things into operation, allowing Him to put them into operation in us, people, these are the problems that we're dealing with in our marriages. This is not a theological study in that sense. This is getting right down to where you and I live. Instead of trying to come up with do and don't do, and we'll shoot you if you do, and scrapping and judging and maligning, and on and on and on. We've lost the whole message of the cross. The whole message of the cross is about sin and reconciling man to God when he does sin. Not scrapping him. That isn't the business God is in. And yet people will preach about the cross and then turn around and live by the law. Preach about the cross, but live by the law. Preach about grace, but live by the law. And it isn't going to work in seeing a solution. And it's just going to continue to get worse. And we're just seeing the reaction. It's a beautiful reaction. I'm not running down the Southern Baptist. Not picking on them. But it is a perfect example, and it happened in our city, it's a perfect example of the reaction. I see something I don't want, and I can do something about it through the pocketbook. If we can cut them off and hurt them by the pocketbook, if we can judge them, separate them, attack, all of this stuff, our message will get across that we don't like homosexuality. Not about Christ crucified and resurrected. But we're just going to make this statement. When if we could get and understand what does the Bible have to say, and that's what we're looking at. And people, I know some of you would rather have the book of Revelation and then deal with the inner problems with each other in marriages, at work, and in life, and all these other things, and still be fighting that. And I'm just led right now where I am, and believe me, I'm in prayer because I know some of you want that, and some of you are just seeing what's going on here, and I appreciate that. But this study right now may sound elementary. Yeah, it's elementary, and that's why Christians are getting divorces. That's why Christians can't live together. That's why Christians are splitting and judging and maligning and having all the problems they are because it's too elementary to live by. I want some deep theology. I want some other things. I'll try to give you some of that stuff because I think you're ready for it. But also we need to be constantly be aware of what does the Bible say in regard to how we ought to live. Okay, let's deal with this then. We're looking at the passages that deal with one another. And without much work on this, one, we have seen that we are to love, spiritual love, one another. And all the things that love involves, it is not just an attitude, it is an action. Love is a force, an interaction between two objects. And it's going to govern the action. Then secondly, we've noted we are to serve. We are to serve one another. These things are not conditional. These things are commanded of us as to characterize us walking in the Spirit. We are to, three, bear one another's burdens. And this is very important in this problem of sin. The burdens that come by sin. This is what we find in Scripture. And then three, we are to recognize that we are members of one another. We are to recognize that we are members, family members in Christ of one another. And then 5, these are taken from Romans, the first two from this one is all through Scripture we've studied, all through the books. And then they serve and to bear one another's burdens. These were in the book of Galatians, and now we're in the book of Romans. And our fifth one was we are to be devoted. People, if we would, I could stop right here. Love one another. If Christians would learn to do that would cut sin down dramatically. If Christians would do that would guide us in how to deal with Christians when they do sin. But we're looking for control. This is too easy, plus I don't really believe this. It's much like the best thing I can give you is, and what we're looking at, and from here on down, it's much like Adam Smith's Wealth of Nations. Tremendous dissertation on laissez-faire capitalism. It's about that thick if you've ever had to work your way through it. And people like a lot about it. But the one point that man doesn't like about laissez-faire capitalism, and it's what the whole thing is based on, if you really get down to it, and it's the one thing that man doesn't like, and that is, it's all going to work by the invisible hand. And that's exactly what Adam Smith called it. Laissez-faire capitalism will just work. All these principles, economic principles put into operation, it'll work. Man says, no, I don't trust the invisible hand. I want to get in there and control a little bit. I want to control the supply side. I want to control the demand side. I want to put in this, and I want to put in that, and I want to regulate this, and boy, if we'll do this, and I want to fool with this thing. So laissez-faire capitalism was designed as a beautiful stallion horse, and now it looks like a camel with three humps. Because man wants to get in there and just fool around with it. We don't trust it. I want to control it. Same thing as in the spiritual realm. I don't trust the Holy Spirit. Don't trust faith. I want to control each other, scrap each other, malign, do everything I can to get things the way I want them to be. We are to be devoted. Be devoted to one another. Devoted in every area of their life. When they're in sin, when they're out of sin, be devoted to one another. We are to sit, give preference to one another. I'm not going to do that. And I'm certainly not going to do that. I'm certainly not going to give preference to a believer that's in sin. I want to ask you a question. What did your Savior do that we are supposed to follow to sinners such as you and I? He gave preference to us and died on a cross. But it just somehow Christians come in their life and they don't, no, that isn't the way it's going to be. And then 7, we are to think the same. We are to think the same with one another. What is that thought that we studied in Scripture, to love one another as Christ loved us? And then the 8th one, and this is where we finished up last week, we are to build up. We are to build up one another. Now, I want to share this with you, because it's in my soul. We're so small here. I had one of us, come to me and say, I do not believe in what you're teaching. I don't think we should have to edify, serve, do all those things. And I said, okay, what are you going to do with these passages? And many, many more that I haven't got to. Well, I don't know. I just don't think it's my responsibility. I'm not my brother's keeper. And I don't like it. So, people, while that hurt, I did appreciate that this person was listening to what Scripture's saying and said no to it. I hope you're listening, because if we can get these things functioning in our life, it changes your marriage, your family, friendships, and local assembly. The Holy Spirit will start changing the whole way that you deal with each other as we continue to add these things together. Now we're ready for the ninth one. And the ninth one, and I want to put it right down here. I don't want to go to a new page because I want you to see something in our passages. The ninth one is, we are to be of the same mind, be of the same mind with one another. Okay, we are to be of the same mind with one another. Now, let's just open the scripture, and then I want to talk about it. Look at Romans 15. We're still in the book of Romans at the phrase one another. Romans 15. I don't know sometimes why the Holy Spirit takes me on different paths. I don't sit down and say, okay, this is what I'm going to do, and boom, I'm regimented to that. Just like what's happening on Tuesday night. We're getting ready to do a very similar thing with the person of Jesus Christ in your life. We're getting ready to do the same kind of thing. There's not as many as we're going to have here, but it's going to be the same type of deal. What's going on with the personal relationship with you and Jesus Christ? Personal relationships with one another? I don't know. But I know that this is where I'm being taken, so let's take a look now in Romans 15, and I would like you to look with me at verse 5, Romans 15, 5. Now, may the God who gives perseverance, God gives to people. You don't get this yourself. This is something that is given to us by God the Holy Spirit, who gives perseverance and encouragement. Okay, now this God who does that, grant you, the God that gives you those two things, may He also grant you to be of the same mind with, and the preposition is in, E-N, with one another, according to Christ Jesus. Okay, now, what I want you to look up on the board here is, this is the third exhortation on a seemingly same principle, so therefore, very important to God, what's going on inside of our soul. I want you to look at point four. Let's look at point four. We are to recognize that we are members of one another. This is family. We are of the same family, and therefore we are to treat each other as members of the family. And we've already noted a lot of people are far more giving or forgiving with a member of their own family than they are a member of the body of Christ. Okay, that's one. Then I want you to look at point seven. We are to think the same with one another, or actually it's toward one another, not with, but toward, different preposition. Here we have a different preposition. There the preposition is I, translated toward one another, thought toward one another. Now, we are to be of the same mind with one another. Same thinking toward one another, and here, recognize that we are members of the body of Christ. Okay, let's take a look at this one now, and that we're dealing with. This is different from point seven. Be of the same mind with one another is different from think the same toward one another. And I'm going to show you how. In point seven, we're to think the same toward one another, Romans 12:16. There we are to recognize one another, everybody, as equal. Think the same toward one another, equal. You're not better because of your spiritual gift. You're not better because you're moral. You're not better because you know more doctrine. You're not better because you don't sin as horrible as they sin in your eyes. You're not better for any of those reasons if we are in Christ. I'm talking about in principle, sometimes not always in actuality. But you take a given family where there are a lot of kids, like our family, a lot of boys and a lot of girls. You're going to have some that are better athletes. You're going to have some that are better in school. You're going to have some that are late bloomers. You're going to have some that never do bloom. You're going to have some that cause a lot of trouble. You're going to have some, all this. Let's take the mother and father's view. I'm talking about in principle, not necessarily always, and it can happen. It happened in ours, but parents love every one of them, even the one that causes all the trouble. Love with the same love that the one who signs, well, if you say that word, bothers people. And sometimes the parents can even do a good job where the siblings have a mutual love for each other, and that doesn't even matter. That one is can be an athlete, and one can do well in school, and another doesn't care about anything, and yet when they are in the confines of their home, there's no difference. This is the way, because they're brothers and sisters in the same family. This is what we're dealing with in our study. We're to recognize that we're all equal in the body of Jesus Christ. So we think the same toward one another. And just because, you know, you're this and you're that and you're the beauty queen and you made good grades and you're the bummer, we're not going to give you so much and we're not going to... No. We think the same thing. You belong to this family. When you walked in fact, I like the home I was reared in, because I don't think it was done out of any education or a strong thought process. I really don't. And I'm not being negative about my mother, but once we walked into the house, our mother flat did not care what we did outside the house. In fact, sometimes it even bothered us that she didn't. We walked in, she did not care that I was president of the class. I still had to take the garbage out. I still had to do all my chores. She did not care that my brother got into the honor society. She was happy. That's wonderful. Go take out the garbage now. When you walk into the house, your accomplishments out there did not impress her. You were loved because you were her son. Period. That was it. And when we were real bad, we still were fed, and there's clean sheets on the bed. It didn't matter. We were all the same. And this is the way we are to think in point 7, the same toward one another. That's what we do in the body of Christ. But here in point 9, we are to think the same way. We're to have the same attitude as one another. It's very important for you to note immediately that these 2 points, but this what we're dealing with now, this verse, is from God the Holy Spirit. This is the impact of spiritual love and knowing how Jesus Christ thinks, knowing how Jesus Christ loves, and we are to think and love the same way He did. Does that make sense now, what we're talking about? We're to think the same mind with one another. Not toward one another. We have a different preposition. With one another. And we are to love as He loved. And we are to think as He thinks. And that is spiritual love. And we are to do this, have the same thought. You don't think one way, and then another one thinks another way. The unity. Paul does not say doctrine is the perfect bond of unity. He says love is the perfect bond of unity. Loving as Christ loved you is the perfect bond of unity. All right, Romans 15:5. Let's take a look now. Now may the God, this is God the Father, and He does this through the one that He has sent for this purpose, God the Holy Spirit, who gives. Actually, the verb to give goes with the same mind thinking among one another. Now may the God of patience and comfort. Do you understand what I said? The verb who gives goes with the same mind thinking among one another. Actually, what the Greek says, now may the God of patience and comfort. Okay, we left off last night in a very important question. What kind of God do you have? And every person has to decide what kind of God they have, your view of God. I've learned what a lot of people think about God. In actuality, not down on a piece of paper, not theological dissertation, but in action, in practice, when you deal with the real issues of life with one another, what kind of God do you have? Is your God a judging, scrapping, type of God who's just going to slap people. They're angry, dealing with justice all the time. Or is your God a God of patience? Is your God a God of comfort? Now here he's described your God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. This is the way he interacts with each of us. He interacts with us in patience. He has to, if he's God. Because we as this little creature are, one, going to sin, two, not always get it, what he's saying, struggle through, try to do it in the flesh, all kinds of things. So we're very thankful that he is patient and gives comfort. He's a God of comfort. He is the source of comfort, not your circumstances, dear people. This is where a lot of Christians get bogged down. It's not in your circumstances, it's in your relationship with God, God the Holy Spirit. He pours in his comfort. So we're dealing with a God of comfort, a God of patience. But he gives to us patience and comfort. That's why they put the verb there. But that's the God of patience and comfort. Now, one way he does this is by giving to us the same mind. One way he gives to us patience and comfort is give to us the same mind. Therefore, the King James here is really preferred. The idea presented in the NIV and the NASB, though, are also correct. But let me read to you the King James. If you don't have it, listen. 15:5. You can kind of look at your text and see how this is going to go. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. It's an excellent translation. It just hits it right on the head and puts the verb where it belongs. The God of patience and consolation. And part of his patience and part of his consolation is in giving us the same thinking toward one another. That will be so that we are patient with one another, that we give comfort to one another when it's needed. Not hurting, not shooting them, not running them down, not judging them, but giving comfort to one another. Husband, wife. I keep bringing this to your intimate relationships. Friends, church, work, social life, every area of our being. So I like the way the King James does that. Now, the God of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. In other words, according to our relationship in Christ Jesus. Receive these things just as we receive anything from God. How do we receive this like-mindedness and this comfort and this consolation or this the comfort and patience? We receive it by faith in Him, in God, God the Holy Spirit, and He gives us these things. All right, first of all, let's just note the ideal of patience or perseverance, whatever way you want to look at it, translated patience, perseverance. This is what God is. God is patient. And this is also what you will receive that characteristic from God, empowerment by God the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a different word than we have in 1 Corinthians 13:4. Spiritual love is long-suffering, makrothumia. Here we have a different word. Here we do not have makrothumia. Here we have hupomone. But a different word here translated patience. And here is translated patience. Perseverance, NIV, encouragement, King James, patience. Then we have encouragement. Again, this is what God is. God is not in the business of discouragement and hurting and shooting and running people down and hurting them, even in sin. He is encouragement. That's why he sent his Son. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit, Salvation 1 and Salvation 2. This is what God is. This is what God gives you. He'll grant you. He gives this by grace. Everything we receive from God is by grace. The only thing compatible with grace is faith. To be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus. The NIV, give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus. That's the way the NIV translates this. Give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus. The King James, now God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another. And that's much closer to the truth than what NIV did. All right, the same thing or the same mind, the same thinking, according to Christ Jesus. That is, according to the mind or the thinking of Christ Jesus. In Philippians chapter 2, we have the thinking of Christ Jesus. And what was the thinking of Christ Jesus? He did not think holding on to deity as something to be held on to and grasped like Satan does. But he set that aside to take the form of humanity that he might die on a cross. People, if you think your little self-righteousness or your little purity or whatever it is worth holding on to, and you can just slaughter and kill other Christians and ignore them and not be patient and helpful and all the things we're studying, you don't have the thinking of Christ toward one another. I know his thinking. I know it. He didn't even think holding on to deity. And I know Christians, oh, well, if I don't judge, malign, and do all of this, if I don't put up a ban against you, you know, taking this thing with the Southern Baptist, and boy, we just cut you off, we're not going to do anything, and all the rest of it, and that's the thinking. That's the way Christians think. I just got to separate myself against you. I've got to do all of this stuff to you. That is not the thinking of our Savior, dear people. They just, we're going to hold on to, and what was their big deal? Our integrity. The Southern Baptist Convention believes. But it wasn't the thinking of Jesus Christ. It wasn't the thinking of Jesus Christ at all. He didn't hold on to his deity so that he could separate himself. No, I'll set that aside, take the form of humanity that I might save. This is our thinking. This isn't going to hurt my purity, my righteous relationship with the Lord to help a believer who's in sin come out of it, to help a believer who's in need, help a believer who's struggling with understanding Scripture to understand it. So what we have is this ideal, I've got to protect myself. Christ didn't do that. What kind of thinking do we have? This is the thinking that we are to have. So what happens here, when they think the same thing toward one another. And when we don't do that, what happens is, and we're going to see this hopefully tonight, division, faction, schism, splits, and all these things start to happen. So this exhortation becomes very important, and most of you here know that. That are in order that, look at verse 6. Just continue this now so that you see the rest of the sentence. That in order that, with the result that, isn't this beautiful? Instead of divisions, splits, judging one another, hate, anger, instead of these things, you, with one accord, like-minded thinking, thinking the same thing, you may, with one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What's going to do that? All this, you know, being righteous, and we're all against degenerate, or whatever her name is, and we're all against homosexuality, and therefore we're all like-minded. I don't find that in Scripture. But if we all think the same thing that Christ thought, in the same manner that Christ thought, same spiritual love that Christ thought, we'll be like-minded and glorify God. That would have been a far greater letter written to Disney and to the world. But that was not done. What they rather have done was judge, attack, separate, and use political, economic issues to bring home their point, not in Scripture. They didn't want to use love. They didn't want to think as Christ thought. So, though they would make a case, just like you can do, you can make a case for do and do. Let me show you the passages upon which we're doing this. So let's forget about all the passages in regard to our Savior, whom we're here to glorify. And look who we glorify. With one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our relationship is with Him. So we think the same things that Jesus Christ thought. You love as Jesus Christ loved. Therefore, you are like-minded. Therefore, you are in praise of Him. And therefore, you are in praise of God the Father. So this is our thinking. This is the same thing that we saw in Philippians 2:5. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, and that's where he set aside himself for and took the form of humanity and died on the shameful death on the cross. Okay, we come to the tenth one. We've got to make some ground. The tenth one. This one's going to hurt. This is going to hurt because, boy, I can show you my passages. We are to accept one another. We are to accept one another. Oh, yeah, but only to meet these conditions. Then I'll accept you. Now, what it says. Let's take a look now. Again, this is very close to point four, recognize members of Christ. Point seven, think the same toward one another. Point nine, be of the same mind toward one another. Because of these things, and because of loving one another, we are to accept one another. See what I'm saying? If you understand we're to love one another as Christ loved, recognize we're members of one another, think the same with one toward one another, think the same with one another, do all of that, what's going to happen? We accept one another. It's a very beautiful thing that begins to happen in life. Romans 15:7. And down to verse 7. Wherefore, accept one another. And remember I showed you how some of these have a little bit, love one another as Christ loved, bear one another's burdens in love, serve one another in love. There's a lot of things that put these things into telling us how to do it. Watch this. We ought to accept one another as. Here we have it again. As. People, it isn't according to what you want. We have an example. As Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. Not just because somebody is really wonderful, sinless, pure, whatever your list is, learns like you do, serves like you do, most like you do, all these things, righteous, moral righteous like you do. No, as Christ accepted us. And how did he accept us? He accepted us in grace. He accepted us out of the love of himself and the love of the Father, take us to the glory of the Father. All right, let's take a look at what's going on. We are to accept one another. What is it meaning? What does this mean? The Greek word is prolamano, or proslamano, and I'll just transliterate so we can see. It's a compound word. It has a prefix, pros, and what this adds to this word, it means to. It means face-to-face, noting a relationship, those kind of ideas. And then it's plus lambano. And lambano means to take. It means to take to or with oneself, as in one's own company. To draw one to one side, into one's fellowship. I'm just reading you out of the lexicon. Receive and treat with kindness. Give you some of that. Now, to give you an ideal of this word, though, we are to accept one another. Look with me at Acts 28. Look with me at Acts 28. What does it mean to accept one another? Acts 28, verse 1. Acts 28, verse 1. And when they had brought safely through, then we found out that the island was called Malta. And the natives, for all we know, unbelievers, showed us extraordinary kindness. For because of the rain that had set in, and because of the cold, they kindled a fire, and note what it says, here's our word, and received us, accepted us all. Means to accept in kindness. Look with me at Romans 14:1. Go to Romans. That was a case of unbelievers doing it. Look at Romans 14:1. We'll see how to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Romans 14:1. Now, accept. There's our word. Accept the one who is weak in faith. People, let's talk about that. Person that's weak in faith. Well, one, their life will be characterized probably by sin. Two, their life will be characterized by extreme legalism, one or the other. They're either going to try to live the Christian life by legalism, by do and do, not trust God, or a lot of sin. So this is the person who's weak in faith. Also, it refers to various times in a person's life. The case study of David, case study of Peter. Not just as one grows, he becomes strong and never is going to falter in faith. No. Some of the greatest believers faltered in faith. So we'll accept these. All right, let's see what else. Accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. Don't go around judging him. One man has faith that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats vegetables only. Yuck. And I love scripture here. That's the weak person. Weak person, person that eats, you know, vegetables. Don't make too much of that. Three, let not him who eats regard with contempt him who does not eat. I don't regard it with contempt. I just think they're losing out on life. That's my deal. Regard the one who contempt with him who does not eat, and let not him who does not eat judge him who eats. For God has accepted him. God has accepted most. Hey, I'm sure. I don't drink. I don't eat. I don't chew. And I don't go with girls who do. That's a chauvinist statement, isn't it, ladies? Okay. And, I'm right with God. I do. And so, one's going to say God is going to accept one another. No, people, God has accepted them both. So we saw an unbeliever, and then we see it used of God. In Philemon, we have another good picture of what it means. Look at Philemon. Philemon. This is powerful. You know, just talking again, I'm only doing it to bring our thoughts and see where we are and what the Baptists are doing. First of all, I had fun reading the Dallas Morning News the day after, and it just listed everything they're going to have to ban. I mean, you know, the History Channel. I mean, it just went on and on and on. I didn't even know a lot of the stuff that was on there were Disney. But, you know, this is what Satan does. People, slavery. He made slavery a big issue. It divided a nation. It divided Christians. It divided churches. It divided homes. It divided families. Slavery. We have creation, evolution, and education. Go back and read, if you ever want to, go back and read how much hurt went on in Christian homes over that. I know most of you know about the slavery issue, how it broke churches and homes in our nation. But if you read what happened with the creation-evolution battle, I mean, that became a great issue. And Christians, what do you believe? Well, you know, if you don't believe in creation, then, you know, and they would separate, judge each other, looking for reasons to let each other, you can't even believe the hurt that was brought on by that issue. Prohibition. Another one. Christians ended up hurting each other, attacking each other, judging each other. You drink? Oh, well. Parents, a husband, wife, children to parents, parents to their parents. And in churches, it was unbelievable what prohibition did. Christ was not glorified in the slavery issue. Christ was not glorified in the creation evolution issue. People in unbelief can't understand the creation evolution issue. I don't care if the kids talk that it's evolution. Once they come to Christ, their eyes will be open. Their eyes aren't going to be open in a classroom. But once I give the gospel and they start walking in the Lord, I know what's going to happen in their soul. But Christ crucified and glorified wasn't the issue. Prohibition? Well, where are the unbelievers today? Unbelievers today are leading this big thing on anti-drinking. Are they talking about our Savior? No. Talking about, but not Jesus Christ. The same thing the church did in the prohibition period. Abortion. Dividing churches. Dividing Christians. Judging. What do you think? Well, I don't think life's... Oh, well, then you're out. You're not even... Well, I don't even know if you're saved. I have nothing to do with you. Christ glorified, Christ crucified, Christ resurrected me? No.
who has all these issues, political, social issues. Satan takes us down that road. We're not here to change society, dear people. Not here to get rid of degenerate from TV. I'm here to tell people about Christ crucified and resurrected. And then the Holy Spirit, teach people to walk in the Spirit, Spirit of God, to watch and what not to watch. We can't control people. We want all Baptists not to have anything to do with Disney. What a control factor. It's a beautiful picture of legalism. It's a beautiful picture of trying to solve man's problems other than by the power of the Spirit and faith. And it just shows you all the things that's going to happen. The world's laughing at them. And the part that's not laughing at them, what is their view of God? God hates homosexuals and is going to throw them all into the lake of fire. Is that right? No. He died on a cross for them. That's the message. Is it wrong? Absolutely. Solution? Christ crucified and resurrected. Did we hear that? No. Well, all we heard was, cut them off. Separate. The reason I went to that little tirade, do you know what Philemon's about? Philemon is a slave owner. It's an unbelievable book got into the Bible. It's an unbelievable little book, and it's got a lot of powerful stuff in it, not just this issue. Well, if we started looking at it, you'd be boggled by the Old Testament stuff that's going on here. But let's go on. Philemon's a slave owner, and guess what? One of his little slaves ran away. Well, I know our society can't identify with that, but that's punishment by death. You just don't do that. Got to keep the slaves in place. Got to keep them in fear. So you don't keep them in chains, but you keep them in their place. And one way you keep them in the place is you run away and you're killed. So this was a big, big thing. And it's always been a big thing. Now, what does Paul do in Philemon? Does he go through a big tirade on how horrible this man is for having slaves? No. Does Paul support slavery? No. But that's not the issue. And he knows it. I want you to look what he says in one verse. Philemon 17. 1:17. If then you, Philemon, regard me, Paul, a partner in Christ, in our spiritual conflict, accept him, the slave, and look what he says, as you would me. That's powerful. I want you to accept this slave, who is a believer, by the way, as you would accept me, because we're all of Christ. It's a powerful. He doesn't say let him go. He just says accept him back. Don't beat him. Don't put him on ration of food and water, or bread and water. Accept him just like you with me, coming back. I want you to accept him. So what does accepting mean? It means whether you've done something really bad, they come back, that's repentance, accept them. It's over. And that's another example of what this is. Now, let's look at Romans 15:7. Romans 15:7, so we can get this going. 15:7, we have the basis or the foundation or the model in our passage of accepting one another. Look what it says in verse 7. Accept one another, and here we have the foundation or the basis, just as. Same word we have with spiritual love. The same Greek construction in John 13:14. New commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. So the same Greek construction. So just as. So here's our model. Here's our model. Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. We are to love one another as Jesus Christ loved us. We are to accept one another as Jesus Christ accepted us. And as he accepts us. How does Christ accept us? People, we come with a repentant soul, change of mind with regret, faith, boom, that's all. Accept you back into fellowship. Accept you back into service. Set you back, not separate from you. So this is how this is done. So Jesus Christ is our example, not law. See, the prodigal son was going by law. He said, all right, I'm going to go back, but I'm going to ask for a job working in the stable. Just for a lowly job. And his father said, "No, you're my son, man. I accept you. You come back repentant. You want to come back and make this thing work? Come on. Come on in. Take a position of royalty in this household because you are my son. Here's the robe, here's the ring." Who got all upset? The son of law. The son who lived by the law, did everything right, and he can't stand it that the father showed that kind of love to that son. Cannot stand it. He became very angry, so we know his soul. We know where he is. But there is another example of how this thing works. How he has to do it. So, this becomes tough, people. Sometimes this will be very tough. According to law, many people are not worthy to be accepted. Not worthy according to law. But people, you and I can't go by that. I've got to accept as Jesus Christ accepts me. He's my example, not the law. So the standard of accepting one another is what? Jesus Christ. How does he do it? He died on the cross for the sins. They're paid for. You repent and trust? Yeah, fine. Accept you. Full service and fellowship. So we have to understand what's going on here. In closing, look at Psalm 65. Close with Psalm 65. Verse 4. How blessed is the man whom God, thou God, doth choose and bring near, that's accept back to thee, to dwell in thy courts. We will be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, thy holy temple. We accept as Jesus Christ accepted. Not in judgment, not making them feel shame, but just the way that we are accepted with Christ. Okay, next week we will begin with point 11. Okay, just closing a word of prayer. Father, how grateful we are for the opportunity to see these things. Father, we look around at the world, we look at the body of Christ, look at our own lives, look at our own assembly. And Father, in our lives and in the world and in the body of Christ, so much turmoil and trouble. And why? There are all kinds of answers, but for the eye that we see, it's simply because we're not walking by the power of the Spirit. We don't trust you to change our lives. We don't trust you to transform us into the image of Christ. Cause us, Heavenly Father, to see the battle of faith and to walk by it and to know and to believe that our God is sufficient. We praise you in your Son's precious name. Amen.